Hello, my beautiful people. So, to first of all give you a little update, I have re-recorded this episode alone like a solid 4 times, and it's not because my last recording was necessarily bad, or anything specifically, but I just want to make sure that my message is completely clear and how I'm trying to present the message. And I am releasing 2 podcasts this week because I feel really bad in the fact that I did definitely let you guys down once again. Just like my blog, I really don't see this being something that I'm going to be able to do every single week and make sure it's always there. Although I would love for that to be the case, I just truthfully have such a busy life, and if I can sleep sometimes, I decide to sleep rather than record a podcast. So that is something that I do appreciate my listeners for, as they are very understanding. I don't have anybody banging down my door like, where's the new podcast episode? I know I am not that interesting, but I really do appreciate the fact that I don't have anybody banging down my door asking something of me whenever, you know, truthfully, everybody's always asking something of me. So I'm happy that this can stay an organic little, you know, hobby for me, and truthfully be a hobby, something I enjoy doing. And I'm really excited for this podcast specifically because I'm going to talk about my passion, which is marketing. Well, I say passion. It's my day job. I mean, I'll get into it. I do truthfully love marketing. However, it's not what I would consider a passion. My passion is bridal, as we know. But anyways, let me give you an update on my life. I am definitely writing out a sticky note to make sure that I hit all the things. Because I absolutely hate it whenever I feel like I haven't hit all the things for you guys, and then I'm like, well, damn, I missed something. So I definitely have a sticky note here to make sure that I hit every single thing. All right, so I guess now it is for me to, so I finished my little intro, and now I get to catch you up on my life. So as I'm sure you have realized, since I haven't released anything in the past 2 weeks, life has been absolutely crazy. In the best way and the worst way all at the same time. I can't really release a whole lot of the information because it's too early to release all the information. But yeah, it's been interesting, and the world around us has been very interesting recently. I am recording this podcast on June 27th. So Monday, June 27th, 3 days after Roe versus Wade has been overturned in the SCOTUS. So there's a lot of mixed emotions all around the world at the moment. And I feel like I don't really know what to say, truthfully. I do and I don't. But I kind of want my podcast to be something that we step away from the real world in while talking about the real world and, like, obviously knowing it's there, but not focusing and hyperfixating. We do enough of that in our regular lives, and this is just not the place where we want to bring that energy. I actually was talking to someone that I really care about, and I know that they really care about me, and I was telling them, you know, I just don't feel like you want me around. And they were like, honestly, if I didn't want you around, I wouldn't have you around. And I need you to understand that, and you need to calm down. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, you know, I understand that you have a lot of stress in your life. I understand there is a lot going on in your world, that you are overwhelmed, that you are at capacity when it comes to emotionally feeling things right now. And I completely understand that, and I would love nothing more than to hold you. However, I also need you to understand that you have to calm the fuck down. And I'm very much a tough love person. I feel like tough love is something that I accept best. And I didn't know how to feel in that moment of him, like, giving me that tough love. But it was definitely needed. And he's like, you know, just chill the fuck out. Chill the fuck out. And he brought up a very valid point of the fact that, you know, life is very stressful. And typically, the stress points, the points of our lives that receives the most stress isn't the points of our life that give us the most stress. For example, my romantic relationships, friendships, and, like, family relationships have always suffered from me being very anxiety ridden, stressed, and just, like, always expecting something. And this is not healthy for any of my relationships. However, it is something that I have a really hard time shaking. And I'd noticed this, and I really didn't know how to, I didn't know how to express how I was feeling. I didn't know how to, you know, make people understand that it wasn't, I wasn't trying to be a pain in the ass. I'm not trying to be overbearing. I'm not trying to annoy you. It's just the chemical imbalances in my brain that force me to immediately start overthinking everything. And he pointed out, he's like, you have so much stress in other aspects of your life. You have stress in work, in your own business. You have stress in, you know, your family, you know, whatever they might have going on. You have stress in money. You have stress in all these other aspects in your life. And you can't control those aspects of your life. So you stress out about the things that you can control. You can control how many times you call somebody and ask if they're okay. You can control understanding what somebody thinks about you. You can control people having conversations with you. You can control those things, and you're fully aware of what you can and cannot control, and you're fully aware of who you can and cannot control. And he got me with the who, because I sat there and I was like, you know, honestly, yeah. Like, I know that I could call him and he would pick up the phone no matter what. Like, he has never, he's never ignored a phone call unless there was a completely valid reason for why he ignored it, whether that be he's at work, he's in the bathroom, whatever it may be. He has not ever ignored a phone call just for the hell of it. That being said, I understand what he's saying, and that he knows, and I know, that he is one of the only people that I can call, and no matter what, he's going to pick up the phone. And that's something that I feel control, like I can control that. And although I didn't expect for this podcast to talk about anxiety or, you know, whatever may actually be wrong with me, I feel like this is something that needs to be discussed, especially right now with everyone being as anxiety ridden as they are. I mean, Roe versus Wade has completely turned a lot of our lives upside down. And I say that as in someone who is, I've never really considered myself a part of the conversation, because truthfully, I don't know what I would do if I was in the situation. If I was to find out that I'm pregnant right now, excuse me, if I was to find out that I'm pregnant right now, I don't know what I would do. And so I never really felt like I could have an opinion on other people's bodies, because I don't know what I would do, truthfully. And if I don't know what I would do, why in the world do I have the right to tell anybody else what to do? I was raised in a very strict Catholic household, and yet this bothered me. Roe versus Wade being overturned is something I have been in marches for and I have pushed for, and I did an entire project in my sophomore year of high school for, and yet I still sat here and I'm truthfully disgusted. Not to mention, sorry for the sirens, I'm in downtown, so I do apologize, but, and they're obnoxious. I really don't feel like they have to, you know, like, I feel like they just turn them really loud for no reason, but neither here nor there. I was raised in a very strict Catholic household. I have always been raised to think pro-life, pro-life, pro-life. I am, however, very concerned about what this means for women's health. I feel like it's a very big step backwards, and we just recently got a person of color's fetus and, like, you know, pregnant anatomy in medical books, and we're just now starting to understand that every woman works completely differently sometimes. Like, there is a 30%, there will be a 30% increase in Black women dying while giving birth now that Roe versus Wade has been overturned. And I really think that's something to put into retrospect when choosing, in a sense, what side you stand on, because at the end of the day, it's not all about me. It's not just about me. Yes, I am a woman. Yes, I have a voice. Yes, hear me roar, whatever you want to say. It doesn't change the fact that it's not just about me. Just like getting vaccinated was not just about me. It was about protecting my family, taking care of, you know, the people around me. Wearing a mask was not just about me. It was making sure that I didn't take COVID home to Arkansas whenever I stepped off that plane. It was making sure I took care of my family and took care of everyone else around me to try and stop the spread of a disease that was killing millions of people. At the end of the day, I don't feel people understand that you just can't be selfish whenever it comes to all of this. and that everybody has different reasons for different decisions. I'd also like to mention that there are certain medical procedures that are underneath the abortion aspect of things. Roe versus Wade also protects same-sex marriage. They also protect interracial marriage. They protect a lot of things. And for someone who has dated people of color, and has considered people of color, like my ex-boyfriend and I have talked about marriage. And for me to now think that that might not be possible if things keep going that direction, do I think they will get that severe? I can't even confidently say no. And that's unfortunate. But I bring all of this up to say that, like, it is a very anxiety-ridden time. And it was anxiety-ridden before all of this was announced on Friday. It's just been a time where everybody is on the edge. There was someone that was literally shot today in Atlanta, Georgia, because, like, at a subway worker was shot, killed, because someone had just hit the last straw because they had too much mayonnaise on their sandwich. Do you know how sad that is, to live in a world where that is what is happening? It is so unfortunate, and again, it's a lot to process. Anxiety is through the roof for everybody, and it is completely understandable why it's through the roof for everybody. I can't say I am not anxiety ridden at the moment, but truthfully, I am always anxiety ridden, so what's new? I say all of that again to say that if you need to talk to somebody, talk to somebody. I actually have a goal by the end of this year to get into therapy. Therapy, I think, is very, very beneficial. I know too many people that have had great results from getting someone to talk to. Yes, I love my friends. Yes, I care about them. And unfortunately, there was a terrible stigma with therapy back in my hometown, and even in my family alone. However, I do feel like it is very, very beneficial. And my anxiety, truthfully, has gotten so bad that I feel like I just need to talk to somebody and really figure out how I can handle that, whether that be medicated or unmedicated. I prefer to not be medicated. However, I do understand that my anxiety is almost debilitating at times. And I feel like being self-aware is the first step to all of it. So I know it's not mental health month. I know it's not mental whatever. However, I do think that mental health is always a conversation that's necessary. And in times like now, where the world semi feels hopeless, I do think that you should maybe put a little extra time in your mental health, you know, drink a little bit of extra water, meditate, talk to somebody, talk to a professional, just kind of feel the feelings. I actually saw something really funny the other day, and it was whenever people say control your emotions, they're not saying not to feel your emotions. They're saying to feel that shit, understand the shit, get why you feel that shit, and then move on from the shit. That's controlling your emotions, not telling you to not feel your emotions. That's two totally different things. And neither of, like, the not feeling your emotions is not an option. So anyways, I really don't have much to catch you up on besides, you know, where my brain is at right now. I'm a little scattered. I actually have had some great things happen recently. I had my, I booked a flight back to Arkansas. I'm officially going back to Arkansas in August, and I'm super excited for that. I get to go see my mama. I miss her so much. I miss my entire family, but I really do miss my mom. And I'm super excited. I'll be there right before my brother leaves for college, so him and I will get to spend some time together. We haven't seen each other since Christmas, so that'll be a lot of fun. I am really excited for that. And then, you know, I'll get to baptize my goddaughter while I'm there. I'm super excited for that. I actually got all of the information the other day. I've picked out my dress. It is on its way. I'm truthfully just super excited for that whole adventure. It's going to be so much fun. I'm very excited, and I'm very honored at the fact that somebody even looked at me and was like, yes, I want you to teach my daughter what a strong, independent woman looks like. And it truly does mean the world. So I don't know. I'm very excited about this, like, new next couple of months that I have ahead of me. I have some great things happening just this week alone. I have a meeting Wednesday with a little side hustle thing that I hopefully will land. And then on Thursday, one of my friends reached out to me. I'm super excited. She was one of my best friends whenever I worked at Love. We've kind of drifted apart a little bit because she, you know, is working now at Pottery Barn. I work, you know, all the time. And so we just haven't stayed as close, but she reached out this morning, was like, "Hey, let's do something this week." And so I was like, "Okay, totally, let's do it." So Thursday, she's taking me out to treat me for my birthday because she unfortunately had to miss out on my birthday in March. And so she's like, "I'm going to make up for it." And she hit me up about making up for it. So we're going to go and do something, see how we feel on Thursday, whether that be Taco Bell in the house or whether that be like going out and getting drinks and getting all fancied up. We don't know yet. And then Friday, I'm going on another date with one of my new friends that I've talked about on here a few times, Aria, the gem and a half she is. I'm super excited for that because we're going to Elefante. And if you've been here for a minute, you know Elefante is my fucking life. I'm obsessed with Elefante. And, you know, I am scrounging up the pennies for that, but I'm super excited for it nonetheless. So, yeah, I'm very excited for this week. Saturday, I might have a coffee date. Not with a romantic relationship, but a business relationship. So I'll see how that goes. And then at that point, I hopefully will have brain cells by Saturday evening. But we will see if that even is going to happen. I've been really working on the Bridal Bell. I have great news about her that I have been on the edge of my seat to share with you guys. The Bridal Bell is officially trademarked. I officially own the Bridal Bell. And that is so exciting for me. I feel like the trademark was really something that was holding me back because anything can happen whenever you're not protected legally. And I don't know, I'm very much a person that like I check things off of to-do list. So until the trademark was checked off, I really didn't feel like I could go to the next step. And yes, I know I need to talk to somebody about that. However, it's just like I had a really hard time doing a whole lot because I was like, I feel like I need to wait. And I'm so happy I did. I am feeling very confident hopping into this next season of life with the Bridal Bell and all of that. And it's just been really, really great. So I'm super excited about that. I am so excited about the Bridal Bell trademark. Like you guys cannot understand how long I have been waiting on this. I absolutely, oh my God, I'm so excited. But yeah, it's just been thing after thing recently. I have been running in circles, sleeping whenever I have the chance. I am awake more than I am asleep by far. I miss the days where I was sleeping, you know, a solid 8 hours. Now I sleep about 4 very interrupted hours and I'm up with no caffeine needed the very next day. So yeah, it's interesting nonetheless. But yeah, I absolutely love my life right now. I wouldn't change it for the world. I wouldn't change it at all. I wouldn't change the people I have in my life. I wouldn't change the people I continue to surround myself with. I wouldn't change anything. I absolutely love my life right now. And I haven't said that in a minute. I will say life has been overwhelming. So I do want to forewarn in the fact that just because life is overwhelming doesn't mean that it isn't phenomenal. It can be phenomenal and overwhelming and you can still cry sometimes and have mental breakdowns and life still be fucking phenomenal. Because my life is fucking phenomenal, but I still cry. Not recently though, I just got my lashes done. But with that being said, I want to hop into the actual topic of the podcast now that I've had quite a long intro and I feel some things that needed to get off my chest. I want to talk about the Gen Z versus Gen X marketing and how they really consume content. So this is more of the bossing up portion of the podcast, I feel, because I really want this to have like an educational platform added to it. It's always about me and my romantic life and if I'm sleeping with my ex kind of vibe. And although I love that and, you know, I'm all about, you know, the single bucket list and all that stuff, I do feel great benefit from talking about this kind of stuff. I'm not saying you're not going to get a juicy little episode after this about if I'm sleeping with my ex or, you know, what my life is about right now. And, you know, I'm not saying that that's not going to be immediately after this, are like, you know, tips and tricks on if you should block him. You know, I'm not saying that that's not going to come out right after this, but I do want to, you know, talk about what I do for a living, every now and then. Like my CEO actually mentioned, we were at an event together and they had these little like sayings of what you were. Like you were either you're like a mysterious creative, an influencer, like they had different kind of creatives and you were assigned this creative. And I found it very interesting. And I wasn't assigned one because I was actually a last minute add on to the list. So like, obviously he didn't know my personality. He wasn't able to assign me one and I was not at all stressed about it. And so, my boss looked at me and goes, "You're a mysterious creative." And I'm like, why do you say I'm a mysterious creative? She's like, "Because truthfully, you have so many skills in your hat and you're able to pull out whatever you may need. And if you don't quite have it, like you have a portion of it, but not all of it, you'll do whatever you can to figure it out." And I was like, "Yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of innovation." And she's like, "Yes, but people also don't know what the fuck you do." And I'm like, whatever, I talk about what I do all the time. And she's like, "Josephine, when was the last time you posted about what you were doing at your job?" And I'm like, "I mean, whenever I worked at Love, I guess, but even then, not really." And she's like, "Exactly my point. Like, you don't talk about what you do." And so I want to talk about what I do a little bit more. It's a very valid point. I'm like, damn, you're right. Like, I really don't talk about what I do. So let's talk about Gen Z. Let's talk about Gen X. Let's talk about how they consume content and what they expect from, I guess not Gen X, millennials. You notice I said that a little. I don't love the millennial market. However, Gen Z versus millennials and how they consume marketing, how they expect some, like what they expect from companies, especially fashion companies, where they are looking to and what they are thinking about. So obviously every generation has a shitty view of the other generation. And I blame this on the human character. We all try to find someone to blame for why things are the way they are. Nobody likes to take blame. Nobody likes to be like, "Nah, I'm the one that fucked that up." Nobody likes to do it. So we always find a reason to blame someone else. For example, my grandmother blames my generation for fucking up everything. And I'm like, I was literally in a crib whenever we had one of the biggest terror attacks on the United States of America. How the fuck am I the problem? But whatever. You know what I mean? Like, she has her opinion. My father has his opinion about why my generation is just ruining everything. And then, you know, I have my opinion about, I feel like millennials have just like messed with the whole marketing scheme and that they are a specific kind of person and I don't enjoy marketing to them. Like, I feel like we all have our own little meh about generations. And I want to specifically compare Gen Z to millennials because I actually sit in the gap between Gen Z and millennials. So I feel like I gain traits from both generations because I do understand where both generations come from. And it really makes it a little bit easier for me to market to both generations because they are very, very different people. Rundown of millennials. Those are people that grew up with flip phones, the early 2000s fashion with the low-rise jeans and all the things that we're kind of seeing come back now. They are people that are selfish-minded, typically. They definitely think about themselves, and they're always looking for money. It's always trying to get a bag, always trying to get the lowest price. And that is something that I have definitely noticed about millennials, and I will stick to it till the day I die. They are always looking for a deal. They will not spend more than they have to. They refuse to spend more than they have to. And if you're begging them to spend more than they have to, you will not have their business. So that being said, millennials, I have a very big opinion about millennials purely because of that. They expect a discount. They expected the companies to bow down to them. Like, I feel like Karen culture became very big whenever millennials started really becoming a buying power. And what's worse is they think they have all the power, and yet Gen Z holds a majority buying power right now, which I'll get into in a minute. But millennials are seen as that kind of just like very condescending character, And it's very unfortunate because I, like, my parents are millennials. I have no problem with millennials, honestly. I don't, like, hate, I don't want to throw a rock at every millennial I see. Like, I'm not that bad of a person. But in regards to marketing towards them, it is very, very difficult because they have to see the value. And if they don't see value, then they don't see why they're paying for it. And they have a tendency to undervalue. And undervaluing becomes a very big issue, especially if you work for a brand like I do that is attainable luxury. So we are known for our phenomenal quality and our attainable prices. But attainable doesn't mean cheap. People, I feel like millennial generation specifically, has a really hard time with that and understanding that just because you can afford it doesn't mean it's cheap. It just means you can afford it. It's in your budget. It's in your price range. It's in your tax bracket. Unfortunately, that is how the world works. Gen Z, however, has a tendency, I feel, to overvalue things. For example, if you are a company that stands with sustainability, you are already 10 notches above any other company that they see because they know sustainability is necessary for us to keep the world moving. That being said, Gen Z is not what I would call a selfish generation, but they are an entitled generation. We are a generation that does expect something. And I feel like entitled is almost the wrong word. And it's not even because I'm trying to defend the generation that I'm closest to and relate most to. It's purely because I feel like we're not necessarily entitled and expecting something from companies that is not possible. However, we are holding them to a standard of fairness. We're holding them to an expectation of following through with moral, like human morals that are seen as good morals. We're expecting people to be their best. And yes, that is showing the entitledness. And I remember the first time I was called entitled by one of my parents. My mom's never called me entitled. She has definitely called me a humble human, which I appreciate. However, my father has called me entitled because I don't remember exactly what it was about. But I remember him looking at me and going, well, it's because you're entitled. I'm like, I like to think I'm a pretty humble person. And he's like, no, you're not. You expect everything from everyone. And I'm like, I expect the bare minimum from people. And I feel like that's where it's like my parents' generation sees it as entitlement. I'm not entitled to that. I know that I didn't walk in and, you know, it's just like, you know, a respect thing. It's not like that. It's purely, I expect the bare minimum from you. I expect your best from you because I'm giving you my best. I do believe that Gen Z is a much more giving generation than the millennial generation is. But I also know that Gen Z's buying power is in a completely different sector than millennials. I also understand why millennials operate the way they do. They have lived through now almost 3 recessions. It is not shocking that they're over here like, nah, I'm not spending a dime if I don't have to, because they are so afraid of their money going missing. Like, Gen Z is about to experience one of their first recessions once they finally fucking clarify that it's a recession. We all know it is. They just need to say it. And so Gen Z is about to experience their first one. And we all have quite a bit of disposable capital for the most part. And yet, we're not really afraid of the recession. We're like, nah, I mean, like, yeah, it's not great. But we also have been smart with our money, where millennials are not, they're not considered as financially responsible as Gen Z. This is another thing. Gen Z watched millennials and learned and decided not to do that. I truly love watching generations evolve because they only get, like, I know everybody's like, you know, every generation gets worse. I completely disagree. I do believe that every generation gets better, but they have trade-offs. You have to get rid of one thing to gain another thing. So in a sense, Gen Z had to get rid of a lack of technology, the digital age in their life, and had to gain always having access to the internet, always having access to something, you know, streaming, browsing, games, whatever it may be, having a tablet in their face a majority of the time, where us in the gap and millennials were sitting until we were like 14 without a phone. And that was completely normal. So although millennials were able to enjoy their childhood and like eat dirt and all that stuff, not that Gen Z didn't get to, however, it was more, we remember the nostalgia, I feel, whenever it comes to generations. And so that's why millennials feel that Gen Z sucks, is because we had tablets in our face the entire time where they had to go outside and play until it was dark outside. Okay, fair point. Hear what you're saying. However, these Gen Zers are very quick-paced, understanding individuals, and they're some of the fastest learners. They're also really bad with attention span. Because we are moving through things so quickly, the attention span has now dropped from an 8-second attention span to a 1.2-second attention span. That is a drastic drop, and I mean drastic drop. And it's all because of the digital, the technology, everything being around them all the time. That being said, this leads straight into how they accept their marketing. Gen Z, as I mentioned, is big on causes, sustainability, LGBTQIA+. They're big on mental health. They're big on understanding your feelings. They're big on feeling everything. They're big on political rights movements. They're big on equality. They're big on, you know, it's just like they're big on the things that matter, in a sense. They're always there for the issues and always there to help with the issues, whether that mean, you know, public protest. You know, Gen Z was they were the people in the crowds whenever the Black Lives Matter movement was happening. They're the people in the crowds now with Roe versus Wade. And what got me, I actually saw something earlier, and it was a TikTok, and they had surrounded the Phoenix, Arizona Capitol, Gen Z, with obviously millennials in and other people that believe the way they believed. But Gen Z is a whole new breed. I don't think people understand that these bitches go crazy. They are nuts. And they said they had surrounded the Phoenix Capitol, and they came over, like the security people had came over his intercom and were saying that they were surrounded and they would start releasing tear gas bombs if they were to not, remove themselves from the premises. And what did these Gen Zers do? Pulled goggles and bandanas out of their pockets, wrapped the bandanas around their mouth and nose, and put on these fucking goggles and charged the Capitol. Do what? Like, fucking do what? Yes, Gen Z is a different breed, and this goes directly into how they consume their marketing, because they expect causes. They expect the brand to stand for more than just clothing, whether you stand for sustainability, whether you expand, you know, whether you stand for equal rights, whether you stand for job opportunities for minorities. No matter what you stand for, you have to stand for something or you've lost Gen Z. And mind you, they are the biggest buying power right now. They also consume their marketing in very different ways. So one, make sure you have something that they can attach to. And again, this can be something as small as like you supporting the LGBTQIA+ community and giving a portion of your proceeds to them. It could be you supporting multiple causes, and maybe you give to a cause every month. Maybe it's you give to a cause, you know, 6 times a year. Whatever it is, you doing something like that is enough for Gen Z to hold on to you and actually care about you and take care of you. Because mind you, they're taking care of you by buying from you. Why so loud? Why so dramatic? The world may never know. The world may never know. Ugh, cops. Anyways, Gen Z is very big about causes, and that goes directly into how they consume marketing. If they aren't going to accept your fluffy bullshit on your homepage, why would they accept it in your ads, in your retail marketing, in your billboards, and all this other shit? They don't care. They want to get down to the nitty-gritty. This is also the generation that doesn't enjoy small talk. Do not come up to them asking them what their favorite color is. They want to know who your mom is and why you have daddy issues. That's what they want to know. They could give a shit less about your favorite color. They want to know what fucked you up as a child. They want to know why in the world you're not going to eat pineapple whenever you ate pineapple every single day when you were 4 years old. Like, they want to know those answers. They don't give a shit about your favorite color. And this directly correlates to brands. They, like, you have to think of it as relationships at all times. So millennials are very, you know, surface level for the most part. They have been taught for a majority of their life to put your emotions deep down. We're poor. We got to hustle. We got to make shit work. We got to do this. We got to do that. And I don't say poor in a derogatory manner. I'm just saying that
there was a lot of financial hardships on millennials from a very young age, and it forced them to be in a hustle mentality, which is why they don't like to spend a whole lot on anything, which is why they accept surface level marketing and have no problems with it. The reason that they accept all of these things without issue is because they don't know any different. They have been literally trained to do that. They are also, you know, the beginning of social media and, you know, brands kind of figuring out voices on socials and all that kind of stuff. But Gen Z, we were raised, I say we, I'm not technically a part of that generation. However, Gen Z was raised in the digital age. Our parents had Facebook and we wanted a Facebook by the time we turned 14. Like, I remember getting an Instagram for my 14th birthday and I was so excited that I literally thought that was my only present. My parents also got me a phone that they surprised me with, but I thought my Instagram was my only present and I was completely okay with it. I was completely okay with that being my entire 14th birthday present. And if that doesn't explain a Gen Z to you, I don't know what does. Like, Gen Z was raised in digital, so they accept a majority of their marketing through digital platforms. That can be social media, that can be ads, that can be emails, that can be whatever. It has to be through a screen. They don't really, I don't feel that traditional marketing tactics work for them. They also like an experience, which I'll get into, but let's stick with the digital. They accept the best that way, but they also only accept organic. I want you to think on this for a second. Organic marketing has been something that's been a massive conversation for the past 6 months at least, where people don't shut up about it. Organic marketing is a necessity because, one, it really shows trust in a brand, like customers having trust in a brand and really like pushing. However, again, as I mentioned, Gen Z doesn't give a shit about the surface level. They want the organicness. They want what's really going on with the brand. They want to see what you're doing. They want the sustainability reports. They want all that bullshit. Like the stuff that we hate writing out for the most part, they want to know it, which is why we have to write it out. Where millennials don't accept marketing in that sense. They want the sale. They want the discount code. They want the sale. They want you to cater to them, to literally do everything you can for them, where Gen Z would mop the floor if you said that you had accidentally spilled something right before they walked in. Like, it's just two ways of thinking. And I like to think of it whenever I'm developing avatars for brands that it's like the helper versus the, like, or the giver versus the taker. Like, that's what I always think of, because millennials have a tendency to want to keep taking. They want to take discounts. They want to take time. They want to take attention, where a Gen Z wants to give. They want to give their time and attention to somebody that deserves their time and attention. They want to give their money to a cause that they feel deserves their money. They want to give. They just want to give to the right things. And so this directly correlates with how they accept their marketing, with how they understand their marketing, with what they expect from the marketing. And that's where all of the organicness comes in, is that Gen Z wants that organic connection. They want to see you doing the trends on TikTok. They want to see you, like, you know, really having the time of your life in your studio. They want to see the nitty-gritty whenever you're, you know, trudging through the streets of a foreign country so you can meet your manufacturer and it's, you know, 3 in the afternoon, you're sweating. They want to see the nitty-gritty. That's what they want, because that's real. That's genuine. That's connecting. And you also have to think, these people were raised in almost a simulation. Like, we were raised on social media, and in turn, we only know the fakeness that is on social media. And there has been such a push for organicness and authenticity on social media that Gen Z has been a driving force behind that. Millennials, however, are very much the blogger moms. They're the ones that are like, oh no, my life is perfect. It's not, honey baby. We know it's not. At least be real about it. At least be real about it. Don't have your kids over here in color-coded gowns and over here, you know, matching the fucking furniture. We know that's not real. We know that's not real. And you've lost Gen Z's attention trying to act like it is. Gen Z wants to see the real. We want to see the messy buns. We want to see the 10 p.m. mental breakdowns. We want to see the real human behind the screen, which is the benefit of Gen Z, is that they allow you to be you. You are the content. So just be the content. If you're having a mental breakdown, talk about it. Earlier, I went on a tangent about anxiety and how I had been feeling recently, and I know other people are feeling like that. Like, you being you is enough for Gen Z to hold on to, and they expect that in marketing. This is how you sell to them. This is how you get to them. You create a relationship with them that is truly genuine, and you have a Gen Z for life. For life. Like, I swear Gen Z is a bunch of elephants because they literally never forget anything. They will remember how you made them feel, how you talked to them, how you looked at them, how your body language was. Like, they pay attention to all of that. Where millennials don't give two shits. Give them their discount code, give them their shit, and they want out. Millennials are very quick shoppers. They are in the hustle and bustle. As I said, they were born and raised in an environment that was all about hustling. That's all they know. And so all they know is the hustle and bustle. They go in, they grab their stuff, they get out. They want nothing more, nothing less. They don't give two shits. Unless you're stopping them to give them a discount code, don't speak to them. Like, that's how they think. And this is very beneficial when learning how to market to these people, because they just learn everything in such different ways. And they're truthfully, these two generations being so close together and being so polar opposite is an absolute pain in the ass to market for, but so much fun. I will have to do another podcast on this, because I'm not going to let this podcast be like 3 hours long of me just talking about customers and avatars and how to build all of this, as I will continue to talk about it. But, you know, next I want to talk about how to sell to that customer and learning organic growth, especially through social media. But I'll save those topics for, you know, separate podcast, because again, this is a lot of information to process. And I feel like I'm low-key boring myself, so I can only imagine what I'm doing to you on the other side. But I'm going to close with I hope that you learned from this podcast, as it will be the starting point of multiple podcasts talking about Gen Z and millennials and how to sell to them and how to market to them. I hope you learned the difference and have painted a picture of Gen Z and millennials. And I ask you to do this, even if you didn't get my pictures, that's totally cool. I can't airdrop them to you from my brain to yours. However, I really want you to kind of create your Gen Z avatar versus your millennial avatar. They are two totally different people. And I think that we really need, it really needs to be understood that they are two totally different people that you're selling to. And although Gen Z has a majority of the buying power, millennials are more likely to swipe their card. And that's just facts on facts. I can't explain it. I don't understand it. However, I do know that millennials are more likely to get in credit card debt because they want it. They want it now, and they're willing to pay for it right then. Where Gen Z will probably stop back at that page 7 to 8 times to see if they still want it. They don't have the, you know, what is that called? They don't have just like the, oh, I'm going to buy it. I can't remember what that's called for the life of me. It starts with an I. Whatever. It's 11 p.m. But I do really, I just wanted to get, you know, talk about this, because I do know that it is going to be a series in a sense where I'm talking about selling to Gen Z and selling to millennials, because they're two totally different markets. They're absolutely amazing. This is what I love about marketing, is that you're doing so much data research. You're doing so much understanding of humans, and humans are hard to fucking understand. So I find a lot of fun in it. But next I'll talk about selling to the consumer, learning organic growth. And I am super excited that you guys let me geek out to you guys. I have so much fun with this. I actually want to talk about case studies a little bit more frequently on here. Like, I'd love to talk about the case study that I did over Beyonce a few weeks ago. Drake, he just released an album with literally one social media post. Like, fucking explain that to me. It was so cool. That was the entire marketing campaign. After Certified Lover Boy had billboards in all major cities around the US speaking specifically to that city, he does one social media post like literally 3 hours before drop. Make it make sense. I'm obsessed. However, to avoid me getting in another tangent, I close. I say I love you. I adore you. I hope you have a great day, night, whatever it may be. And I will see you in the next episode, which I am about to record, and I hope I don't fall asleep while doing it. But I adore you. I hope you have a great day, night, whatever it may be. And I will see you next time. Okay, bye-bye.